Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Inside the Pylon, also Breaking Football and Grandstand Sports Network. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. And I'm here with my co-host, Benjamin Solak from Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak, S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. I did not start Lamar Miller in fantasy. Mike and I were talking about this off air. We're good. But I've only got 4 points right now from DeAndre Hopkins, which is kind of unacceptable. So we got to work on that for the second half of this awful game on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, we're recording during the halftime here, and it has been an ugly game. Ben was just getting caught up on the highlights, and not good. Not good.
Would it be Thursday Night Football if it was actual good, you know, play? Nope.
Yeah, Thursday Night Football is breaking everybody's brains, including Andy Dalton's. That should not be a surprise to anyone. Let's set the stage for the main topic today. Ben, week two, the undefeated Philadelphia Eagles visit the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs on the heels of their upset of the reigning Super Bowl champion New England Patriots in a classic master versus apprentice showdown. Look, we're talking Darth Vader versus Obi-Wan Kenobi. We're talking Count Dooku versus Yoda. Naked Snake versus the boss from Metal Gear Solid 3. Kratos versus Ares from God of War. Ben, is it time for Doug Peterson to surpass Andy Reid like Tywin Lannister surpassed Tytos Lannister?
I'm going to be honest with you. I caught the first two of those references. The video game ones went straight over my head. I'm pretty sure they're video games. Yeah. And then you got me back with Game of Thrones. So that was nice. Right. This is the first, you know, Peterson versus Andy clash of the Titans. And it's just incredible to see how that coaching tree coming down, like, you know, through Mike Holmgren has just grown. I was looking at it for a piece that I was writing for Bleeding Green Nation, just the amount of bodies in the NFL. Like, you know, I think probably all 32 teams have at least one guy who's at some point on a coaching staff, who's on a coaching staff, who's on a coaching staff of some guy who came from that tree. So it's just incredible to see. Will Peterson take it? I don't think so. Obviously, we'll save like score predictions, what we think will happen till the end. If this was in the link, we'd have a different conversation, but Arrowhead is a top three most difficult place to play in this league. And I think the Chiefs are feeling really hot after that Patriots win. Obviously, they also have the benefit of a couple extra days of rest, a couple extra days of preparation. And, you know, I do think that Peterson is still very much the student to Reed's master in that relationship. So I think it'll be the Chiefs. But it's going to be fun to see how the storyline plays out, man.
Right, yeah. And look, the Chiefs are playing really good football right now. When you can commit 15 penalties and lose a turnover battle against a team like the Patriots and still come out with a W, you have to be playing well, otherwise you don't get out of there like that. So what we're going to do is we're going to highlight each facet of the game from the other team, from each team's offensive perspective. So we'll go first with the Eagles passing game against the Chiefs passing defense. One thing that is going to be super important, obviously, is the pass blocking. On third down, Wentz last week was excellent. 9 for 11, 148 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Do you see Wentz kind of having that same success against the Chiefs? Or does that crazy raucous crowd in Kansas City and their pass rush make life more difficult for Carson?
I'll start with this. If we're in a place where he needs to have that success on third down again, we're going to lose the football game, right? If he's facing an average of 3rd and 8, right? If we only run the ball on 2 of 14, you know, third down attempts, then yeah, we're in trouble. That means we are not doing our due diligent work on 1st and 2nd down. A really cool piece on setting the edge by an awesome guy from Pat's Pulpit, Ryan Kieran, talking about offensive run wins, saying that, you know, when you run on first down, second down, you're trying to keep the offense on track to be able to convert on third down and eventually score a touchdown. So that's a really cool piece to check out. But that's the thing about the run game, is that even if sometimes you're able to rip off these, you know, 5 yard runs, these 9 yard runs, the main goal of a running attack in today's NFL is to stay on track. It's to give you that yardage that keeps the defense honest, that forces them to keep people in the box, to respect your ability to run. That way you can attack them with the passing game. And so if we need Wentz to replicate that success on third down, game's already lost, in my opinion.
58 yards on the ground for the Eagles last week. That can definitely not be replicated. Talk about the run game a little bit. Where you think we might be able to have some success, or where you think we're going to struggle the most, because it has not been good throughout the preseason, was not good week one. And look, we're going against our boy, Benny Logan, in the middle there. Do you think we can get the job done against him at least?
Right, that's the thing. I'm definitely not looking to run the ball up the middle as much. And I think what that necessitates is a movement away from LeGarrette Blount and a little bit more of a movement towards Wendell Smallwood. And here's my thing with Smallwood. You drafted this guy in the fifth round of a draft in which you did not have a significant amount of capital, because obviously you had Wentz early, then you went two offensive linemen, you know, in the third round and in the fifth round, so you're already in the way back half of the draft by the time you're making your third selection, and then you go for this Wendell Smallwood kid out of West Virginia University. Given the nature of the running back room in Philadelphia, which is in clear need of help and doesn't have that one bell cow guy, when are you just going to say, let's figure out what he can do? Let's give him consistent touches over 2 or 3 games and see what we have with him. And obviously, like, you know, for the slate that the Eagles have ahead of them with the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Cardinals, these are some winnable games that they have. And they also, you know, look to be in contention for the NFC East. It's not like, all right, screw this, we're not going to, you know, make a splash this year. So, you know, who knows? Like, let's just see what we've got with this kid. But eventually you have to give Smallwood consistent touches and see what can come from him, because you're never going to know what you have there if he just continues to be this change of pace guy that you occasionally put in. So if I'm looking for success against these Chiefs rushers, against this Chiefs defense, I know they have edge rushers who like to get up the field, and Justin Houston and Dee Ford. I'm looking for more draw plays. I'm looking for a little bit more of a counter action and a trap action, try to get these guys up the field and then attack the space that's created.
Well, look, you don't have to convince an Andy Reid disciple to throw a bunch of screen passes. I'm sure that's going to be in the docket for Peterson. So, all right, so let's move on to when the Chiefs have the ball on the offense and the Eagles are on defense. It's Where's Waldo when it comes to tracking Tyreek Hill before the snap. And look, they make life difficult on you, and it can have effects all throughout the defense. Last week, one of the things they did was they brought Tyreek Hill on a jet sweep motion. The deep safety rolls all the way down to come pick him up. They leak Hunt out, who gets on a defensive end who runs a 4.92, and Hunt burns him for a touchdown. That's just one thing. So you have to stay overall disciplined while also trying to keep the genie in the bottle at the same time. How do you think the Eagles get this done, and do you think they will be able to get this done, at least on a consistent basis, even if they let maybe one big play go?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, a healthy Darby makes this a conversation. An unhealthy Darby is an injured Darby, really, is the big concern. That's what the problem is, because, you know, Darby, you have the ability to say, all right, you're my cornerback number one. We're going to put you up against Tyreek Hill. You're probably going to lose a couple of them because, hey, it's Tyreek Hill. But, you know, you'll be able to battle him on a consistent basis, and then you can use your other guys to attack all that scheme versatility you're seeing from Andy Reid and from Brad Childress's offense. The moral of the story, if you're going to withstand what we've seen from Kansas City's offense in week one, it's going to be discipline. It's going to be, you have to play disciplined football for 4 quarters. You cannot jump at what you're seeing. You cannot assume that you know what's coming from their passing attack. You have to remain disciplined. Recognize that you're going to give up big plays, because if Alex Smith is willing to push the football down the field as he was in week one, and they have guys like Tyreek Hill who can get down the field, they have Travis Kelce who's devastating across the middle, and Kareem Hunt who can catch out of the backfield, your defense is stretched. It is stretched to its limit right away because of those weapons. And then you add in all the motion and the confusion that you get. If you don't stay disciplined in your role and you leave space, you're screwed. You're in trouble. And so recognizing you're going to lose those big plays is important. The name of the game's got to be discipline.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, Switching to GEICO could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay. Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! GEICO. Because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to ask you, too. We blitzed a decent amount in the last game. Do you think that changes and we take a more conservative approach and try to make Alex Smith or force Alex Smith into becoming the Alex Smith that we've known for all these years, where he is more than happy to take the check down? Do you think that's something that plays into this game?
I think you'll see a more conservative approach up until you get to the point at which you can dial up a blitz, and Schwartz will blitz on 100% of those opportunities. You know what I'm saying, right? In the sense that, like, first and 10, second and 10, you don't know enough about what's going to come from this offense that you can blitz them. It's too risky. You might get lucky sometimes. Other times, you're going to give up a massive play just because you got a little bit too greedy. But if you get them into a third and 5, a third and 6 plus, I think you're going to expect to see a consistent need to bring pressure, because I don't, you know, looking at, these are two of the best special teams units in the games, with Dave Phipp, and then on the other side, Dave Tobe, I don't know how to say his last name, it's weird. Two of the best special teams unit in the game. And then you've got the Kansas City offense and the Eagles offense, very similar styles, obviously, you know, big differences, you know, but they're in the same family, they're in the same kind of, you know, general category. And you have to assume that right now you trust Kansas City's a little bit more. So if the Eagles are going to win this game, it will come from defense. And so when they get in those third and 5, third and 6 opportunities, they need to win those, and I think that's when Schwartz will bring the heat.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So, okay, the Chiefs' running game against the Eagles. Washington only averaged 3.8 yards against us last week, and didn't have a run over 6 yards, if I'm not mistaken. It's a ridiculous question, but is that sustainable against a Chiefs team that averaged 6.9 yards against the injury-depleted New England Patriots?
It's such a tricky idea, because very similar to the Eagles offense, a lot of these run plays that you'll end up getting from Kansas City, it's not like, you know, oh, let's run inside zone and then we're better than you. It's let's run inside zone with the threat of an option over here and also a bubble look out here in the boundary. And so it's at the point where, you know, it might be fabricated. It might look like Alex Smith is making reads, or it might be legitimate. He might actually be making reads, but he might be making 10 different choices. And then what eventually ends up occurring is, all right, I'm going to give the ball to Kareem Hunt because I have a numbers advantage here. There was one play that stuck out to me distinctly against in the Patriots film where they were in 12 personnel. They have the two tight ends in, and so you've got a big run and pass threat there, because you've got Kelce who can stay in a block, and you've got he can be a pass catcher out in the field as well. New England chose to put 7 people in the box against 7 blockers, and they chose to keep, you know, a high coverage cell because they were getting gashed by the pass. And Smith said, okay, he audibled at the line of scrimmage. He moved a couple guys around in motion. He got a favorable look. He just handed the ball off. Hunt picked up 12 yards, right? If he sees numbers in the box that are advantageous, he's going to take it. And so those rushing numbers are inflated by the nature of the scheme. Every time Smith comes up to the line, he's going to have the opportunity, because he's a veteran quarterback in a very flexible system, to say, all right, we've got 6 blockers. They've got 6 in the box. We're running the football and picking up a free 5 yards. We're staying on schedule. So I think that the Eagles there's a very real path to victory where the Chiefs continue those very positive running numbers, but the Eagles still win, in the sense that that's not what the Chiefs want to do. They'll take it if you give it to them, but it's not what they want to do. And right. So, yeah. And so, you know, those numbers, I think they tell a little bit of a lie.
Yeah. And look, one of the formations that I noticed a lot when I was doing, when I was watching Kareem Hunt in that game, was they would come out with 3 tight ends tight to the left, and they ran 4 plays out of it very, very successfully, including one where, so they ran shovel early in the game, which is an Andy Reid staple. They didn't just do it in the red zone. They did it in the middle of the field.
Of course they did.
Then they get to the red zone, and it looks like they're going to run shovel, and they run that quick little option toss out to the right and get the corner for a touchdown. Then they come back to the red zone, and they give the shovel look, but instead, Kareem Hunt releases to the flats to the left. They're running double China with trips, and, you know, got a lot of traffic. And they set them up so many different ways, and everything worked so much. So like you said, you got to stay disciplined, and you can't look at the formation and overcommit on something, because they will definitely gash you. Coaches, head to head. Ooh, actually, before that, I speaking of the coaches, though, over under timeouts left.
Oh, stop it.
In the 2-minute warning for both Reed and Peterson, I'm going to put it at 3. Do you have the over or do you have the under?
When I was 6 years old, the Philadelphia Eagles were in the Super Bowl with the New England Patriots. When I was 6 years old, my parents tell the story all the time, I was screaming at the television because even I understood at the age of 6 how to manage the clock effectively with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. 7 timeouts will be left. It's not possible, but 12 timeouts will be left, Michael. There'll be extra timeouts left over somehow with the way that these two coaches bungle time management constantly. It's so easy. You have one job. Okay, I'm fine. I'm not going to get started. I'm okay.
Yeah, there's that clip of Bill Belichick on the sideline during that 5 minute drill, going, "What are they doing? I don't understand this. What? There's 5 minutes left in the Super Bowl. You're down 2 scores. Okay,
I'm flashing back right now, like trauma.
But hey, this isn't playoff Andy Reid. This isn't Super Bowl Andy Reid. This is an Andy Reid with some extra days to prepare, which is dangerous because they had the Thursday game. So he's always usually pretty good after that. So head-to-head, coach's advantage is real quick. Who you got, Reid or you got Peterson?
I mean, I think it's got to be Reid based off the experience alone. Yeah. I think Peterson's going to bring the heat for sure because, you know, this is a personal matchup for him. And obviously we've got the storyline going around with the doubt, you know, with Coach Peterson and everything. But I still got to give it to Reid at the end of the day.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Man, that is going to do it for this week. Remember, we're bringing you daily Eagles news Monday through Friday. Usually get these out at 8 a.m. for all the new listeners that have been checking us out. Also, if you haven't heard yet, I'll plug it one more time. Go to our iTunes page, Locked On Eagles, leave a review, leave your Twitter handle, and every week we're going to be giving away one free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. So go check that out. Ben, you got anything else for the gentle listeners at home?
Are we going to do score predictions or anything?
I thought you already said that the Chiefs were winning, and I agreed. So, yeah, we can do score predictions, though.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if we were going to do, like, final, like, predictions or anything like that. No, it's okay. We don't have to.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go 27-14 Chiefs.
27-14. That causes me pain, man. All right. I think the Eagles can rack up a few more points on the scoreboard.
As much pain as the Cowboys winning a playoff game?
I think the Eagles can rack up a few points on the scoreboard. I think that they have the opportunity to score a little bit more. I also think the defense will give them a advantageous field position a couple of times with some turnovers. So give the Eagles 21 points, but I do think that the Chiefs take this away. I'll go 28-21. I don't think any field goals will be kicking. Expect the Eagles to go for it on some fourth downs. Now that we got Jake Elliott, man.
Yeah, I was talking about that with one of our listeners the other day. I would not be surprised by that whatsoever. And look, again, and we forget that the Eagles were 1-7 on the road last year. This opening win on the road against the Redskins is fantastic, and it's a good start to what we're doing on the road. But, man, the Chiefs on the road are so freaking tough. I think that's why I have the wide disparity in the score there. Hopefully, you know, it's a reverse or a jinx or whatever the case may be. So, look. We're going to be back on Monday with some fresh takes. We'll be reviewing this game. We'll be talking about prospects that we saw over the weekend, college football prospects that we think might fit the Eagles. To hear all that, great, great stuff. You got to keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Boom. There's no way you're leaving that big of a pause in Final Cuts.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.